Hey, welcome back. Welcome to another episode of Anxiously Artistic. In case you're new here, I'm your host, Dr. Alondra, and I created this podcast, one, as an anxious and artistic individual who is really trying to work through her anxiety. I am a researcher, a scholar, an all-around creative, a designer, and an educator. I drop little nuggets, little stories, anecdotes that I have experienced and I have picked up along the way in my profession as well as during my education. But I'm using all of these things to help me implement a less anxious way of living when it comes to displaying my art. So today's episode, we are going to be talking about freeing yourself of the outcome. Freeing yourself of the outcome. This is a phrase that I heard months ago, so much so, and it was so profound to me that I actually had to write it in my planner. I think it was in January, if I remember correctly. And every now and again, I'll go back and I'll revisit it to help me clear my head. It's been helping me process as I sort through my anxiety. This phrase has also had a huge impact on my workflow and how I think about practice making perfect and how we should enjoy the process just as much as the end product. I know a lot of us are process people and a lot of us are end product people. And then you have a combination who enjoy the process as well as the end product. And I must admit that I am very much a process kind of gal. But even the imaginary pressure of the process creates a low-level anxiety within me. However, what's important is the process of progression. That one doesn't simply stop working toward personal goals, even if no one is watching. You have to fall in love with the process to have an appreciation for the outcome. Funny enough, I was doing Bible study recently, and this topic kind of coincided with what I was reading about. I've been on a journey to reread the Bible, pretty much starting from the beginning and working through. And last year, I ended up reading through the books of Samuel. And right now, I'm going back through and rereading Samuel. Now, at first, I did read a couple of things last year that really stuck out to me in the time that I needed it. But currently, as I am going through 1 Samuel, and I'm in chapters 8 through 11, I asked God to give me fresh eyes for this passage. I was half expecting, to be honest, because lately when I've been reading it, it's been very late at night, well after midnight. But you know what? You ask and you will receive. The Lord later revealed to me that there's a point in 1 Samuel when the Israelites demanded their present leader, who is Samuel, a prophet, for a king. At this point, or up to this point, the Israelite peoples had only had judges selected to preside over them. But they saw that Samuel was growing older and they wanted to get with the times, you know? They wanted to have a king. They were more concerned about the outcomes of trials and other things than they were their day-to-day processes in life. The Lord had carried them all the way up and through the current time, but they wanted to concern themselves with everyone else's, you know, process and timeline. They were trying to mirror the things that they saw other people doing, but these people didn't necessarily share their calling. Now, this lesson definitely hit home for me, particularly because of the illustration of the Israelites defying their calling and instead taking up foreign idols. So a question then was raised to me. And the question was, what was I erecting in the place of self-security and assurance in my God-given talents? That was a big question, and I really had to ponder it. What have I been erecting as a security blanket because I've been really impatient with the process and wanting to race to the end result because I have not been trusting God's outcome? And concerning my own self, with the end, I lose so much of lessons in the middle of the process. You know, things that will grow my patience and tide me over until I get to the next step in the process. And I feel like that's what the Lord was instructing me to see in the moment. That I was idolizing things that had no concern with me in the moment. Knowing that His promise was that He was going to be with me with every step of the way. And yet and still, I was concerning myself with what's going to happen. And not enough with what is currently happening. Because I was seeking my eyes on things far ahead in the schedule, I was having such a disdain for life for me now. I was allowing not only anxiety but depression to consume me because I didn't see things working when I should have been the one that was working. It's also helped me with this. I've been reading a couple of new books that I found recently, just to help me along in my journey of process and overcoming anxiety, or at least making anxiety work for me. The first book that I have encountered is Here For It by R. Eric Thomas. I think it's called Here For It or How to Save Your Soul in America. And it's such a delightful book. It is very smart, very witful, and it's pleasantly humorous. I found myself chuckling within the first couple of pages of reading it. So it's a really wonderful anthology, well, of essays. I'm not sure if it's completely an anthology, but there are these book or these anthologies or these essays that he writes about different points in his life. And I'm not too deep into it, but I'm far enough to see that he has a lot of cool lessons that he has learned. Anyway, Eric says a few things that definitely resonated with me in the first couple of pages. For starters, in his intro, he states that he is almost crippled by his own fear, but he's still trying. And that was the song of my people in that moment. That I'm almost paralyzed by my anxiety. I won't necessarily call it a fear because there's nothing to fear, you know? But I do have an issue with anxiety in my process. Yet, I still get up and I try to work towards something every day, or at least when I'm not resting. So I may not necessarily be on full display, but there are things that I do personally, whether it's admin work or working through new pieces, that I try to take a stab at every day. So like he said, he's crippled by fear almost, but he's still trying. And this is exactly how I feel about the process. With everything, actually. It takes a lot of guts for me to set up and do this podcast, actually. Because I'm not really used to hearing my own self talk about things at length. But I'm still trying. Yet and still, I'm here showing up all of the time. And if I'm honest with myself, it has taken a lot of guts for me to do many of the things that I've done and not just sit there and sabotage the things that I've said that I wanted to do. Take, for instance, my work. And I know I've talked about this many a times. And why not? But if I had not taken the chance to go back to school later in life, I went back to complete my bachelor's in my mid-20s. And this was after years of stagnation. And I was attending college. I will say that I was attending junior college, or community college rather. And I was doing so because once I got to the four-year program, I didn't want to have to take any of these other classes that I would have needed. I wanted to take everything that I could. But in the midst of me, after graduation, I had had a child and I had to work. So I was taking classes here and there when I could, until one day I was working at this job that I knew I was not going to stay at forever. And I went and finished up, I finished up and transferred all of my stuff from my community college to my 4-year school. And I just remember thinking that I'm not staying at this job forever. I have to find a way to get out. And if I had not showed up and taken a stab at it, I would not have been here with a doctorate today, actually, if I'm honest. Nor would I have had the opportunities to make garments for people, for myself, for others. I'm currently even making a prom dress because it's prom season. I've been so far removed from prom season. And that's all because I chose not to sabotage in that moment. Now, don't get me wrong. I have sabotaged some things, but I'm still showing up. And honestly, that is because I haven't had much of a choice in quitting. I don't like to think that I'm a quitter. If I feel like I'm going to quit, I just don't compete or I don't show up for that thing. But Eric says a few other things that I won't touch base with right now. I'll save those for a later episode. Another book that I've been reading is Good Anxiety by Dr. Wendy Suzuki. This is a very interesting book. It caught my eye because on the face, it said in big bold letters, Good Anxiety. And I really wanted to see how I can take all of these nervous feelings about bearing myself to the world and making it work for me. So Dr. Suzuki instructs us that while anxiety can be generally unhealthy for us, for our brains and for our bodies, it still serves as a wonderful motivator for us to act or move, especially if we're feeling stuck or complacent. Because it's chiefly rooted in competition, this competition made me think or led me to think of anxiety differently. Well, in the way that we can be focused on the process. If we are freed from the outcome, we aren't measuring up against anyone or anything. We are free to enjoy just the process. And then we're able to play to the extent of our imagination. We're able to create to the extent of our imagination with no pressure, right? Imagination. Don't you remember being a kid when you can use that resource freely? And now as we become adults, it seems like some of us aren't able to hold on to that imagination as well because we have duties, we have responsibilities, but we can still act in a childlike fashion when it comes to creating, right? Of course. Dr. Wendy mentions how she initially started routinely exercising, meditating, and eating better to seek out a better response to her anxiety triggers. Ironically, I found myself on a similar path at least a year prior, actually, to me finding this book. I began consistently doing breath work, doing yoga, praying, meditating with God, and hiking to considerably free myself from the outcomes and to help me stay in the moment. Listening to therapeutic podcasts and journaling, I have found also is assisted. By decentering stress, I was and am able to be one with the moment. This opens my mind up to accept the process of creating, and the process is where growth happens. However, there are times when I realize that it isn't my job to actualize the ending. That's not for me to concern myself with. Yes, I want to know what all of this work will produce, but won't that ruin the surprise? My time would be best spent right now getting used to bettering my craft. What fun is rushing to the end anyway? I recently read a quote that said, impatience leads to chaos. And I'm not sure about you, but I've had much too much chaos in my life already. While I think college can be liberating and it can open us up to new knowledges and possibilities, I think the prison structure of some of these colleges and universities co-sign institutionalizing students more, or at least as much as they tend to shift paradigms for us. I say all that to say, I think because a portion of my formal education took on structures within curricula, instead of allowing pure freedom of creativity, especially in design and art-based curricula. I came to dread process work. I only tried to do what appeased some tight-fisted professors because they didn't care to engage with my art style or my design vision. That is how I came to abhor digital illustration, actually. And I felt that then, but I don't feel that much now. Thank God for that. I have been passed over so many times in some of my design classes and graded poorly regardless of the countless hours and days and weekends spent working on projects. Alas, but God is truly a redeemer of time, and he would see it fit that one of my jobs in my internship was indeed a digital artist working for one of the largest companies in travel and destination apparel and working through proofs for Disney and Ironman Triathlon. Also in that time, I regained a newfound appreciation for digital illustration. I picked up other skills and shortcuts in the process, chiefly because I was away from the institution that grew my disdain for it in the beginning. And I'm so thankful for that, because I was able to explore and imagine and screw up. I was able to screw up without scrutiny. There was no pressure to perform. And why was there? Even working for this company with very big contracts and very big licensing partners, I was still able to play, use my imagination and bend it how I will. And true, I had to get things approved or checked over and looked at, and a lot of things got rejected and a lot of things got redirected, but there was no pressure in the process nonetheless. Letting go of the outcome doesn't mean you are no longer expectant or even hopeful, or that you don't have goals or aspirations. You are no longer beholden to the package in which it will arrive. Your focus is shifted to being right here in the present where you ought to be, growing your craft and yourself right here. That's how I feel about my new website, which is createbyelani.com, by the way, in case you were interested. I haven't exhausted myself about wondering when the community is going to come. For one, I have to have something there for them when they arrive. I have to have a place for you all to come, right? Instead, I'm enjoying the creation of building this thing and making pieces of art, podcasts, essays along the way. I make most of, if not all of, the things that are available on my website to view, even the photos that I use as featured images. I would love to use stock photos if I felt that it would work, but I don't. And I use each featured image item as a new opportunity to create a small charrette of artwork to work towards and to kind of give a feeling of what's to come on the other side of the article or the essay. And I'm really quite enjoying that. I like to brainstorm the new ideas that I want, and then I get to form the words and the thoughts behind what I'm going to write next. In fact, I'm finding that the more that I do it, the more I continue to want to do it. It's quite effective at encouraging me to continue. I remember this feeling from when I used to run a sewing blog back in the day. And I mean like over a decade ago. But it was still such a time to be creative then and now. And I've lost what that felt like. And it has just been a rejuvenating point for me to take a work at processing through things every day. Or maybe not every day, but every time that I want to create something new. Spending this time in the present shifts my attention to cultivating and curating the creator I am today, so that I can live up to the creator that I would love to be in the future and that I am working towards being in the future. Since I already mentioned it though, since I already brought up my website, I'll plug it a little bit more. If you enjoy this podcast, and I hope you do, I really do, please stop by my website, createbylonnie.com. In it, I feature my portfolio, as well as my Instagram, and my creative space journal, at least that's what I'm calling it, where you can find more podcast episodes, more musings and essays on the creative life process and working through anxiety. And I also create other resources like book lists, scripture lists, and other plugins to things that are out there. Just stay tuned. I have a lot of things planned later. But if you appreciate this podcast, I really would love for you to check out my website. And I hope to see you there really soon. Anyway, thank you for joining me today, as always. Until next time, bye.